I want to apologize to everybody for the disruption. The way I see it, the worship team sets the timing. Just because it isn't exactly the way you're used to doing it, they set the timing. They're up there, and I try to follow them. And when we have two timings going on, it just disrupts everything. You did good. You did good. Yep. You did good. Thank you, worship team. Lord God, we praise you and we thank you this day. We just pray, Lord, that you would just mend our hearts and bind our hearts together, Lord. We need unity, Lord. We need you. We pray for your presence here. Lord, may your word come forth. Your word says that which you send it forth to do, it will do. Open up heaven for us today, Lord. I pray that you bless your word. Light and darkness. Which is more powerful? Somebody's got the answer. I heard it. Which dominates the other? Is light the absence of darkness, or is darkness the absence of light? John 1:5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Or the darkness does not comprehend it. That's from the King James Version. You're probably wondering what the other versions say. You may be ready to run home and break out your other Bibles and dig into it, but you don't have to do that, because I've researched it for you. Other translations, the darkness does not overwhelm it. The darkness does not overcome it. The darkness does not grasp it. The darkness does not understand it. The darkness does not overtake it. The darkness does not overpower it. The darkness does not appropriate it. The darkness does not absorb it. The darkness does not perceive it. The darkness does not master it. The darkness does not extinguish it. You don't turn on the darkness. No one says they're going to turn on the dark. You turn on the light. That switch on the wall, it's called a light switch, isn't it? When you hit that switch, you don't turn off the darkness. You turn on the light. Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Arise. It means get up. Get going. Go forth. There's work to do. Shine. How's that song go? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You notice the word let is in there. We have a something we have to do about it, don't we? The world notices. If your light is shining, the world notices. And if you're a believer and your light doesn't shine, the world notices that too. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Thy light. It's yours. It's been given to you. It's yours to possess. It's yours to shine. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. What does that mean? There's several things, several answers I could give to that. But it's talking about his light. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. You see the word darkness in there twice. It's two different words. The second one, the gross darkness, it's a lot bolder. It's a lot stronger. Strong's number 6205. It's Hebrew, it's Arafel. It means gloom, a lowering sky. One commentator renders it a thick vapor. Another, deep obscurity. The Septuagint calls it, says about it, it's a cloud, a shade, a tempest. It's not ordinary darkness. 2,000 years ago, God turned the lights out for 3 hours. For 3 hours, it was so dark that it was reported and written about in Egypt. Matthew and Mark says the darkness was over the land. Luke says it was over all the earth. It was only for 3 hours. You know, God could have made it permanent. But in his grace and his mercy, because of the sacrifice that his son made on that cross, he shortened it. You know, I often thought that the reason why it was so dark was because the world had rejected the light. It's almost like God said, you want darkness? You choose darkness? Here you go. There's a lesson there, isn't there? The world doesn't want to have anything to do with the Lord. And God, there's going to come a time when he's going to say, if you don't want to have anything to do with me, then there's only one other place you can go. Because sinners and sin cannot exist in the presence of God. Matthew 4:16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Matthew is quoting from Isaiah 9:2, where it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. But did they receive it? And what light is being talked about in Isaiah? If you read the context, that's also just a few verses after that. It says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Who's that son that's given? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave the son to us. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's a qualifier there, isn't there? We have to follow him. If we don't follow him, then we encounter the darkness. Once again, we make that choice. We have to choose light. John 1:9 says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And of course, it's talking about Jesus Christ. Our light is a reflection of his light. We know this because he gives light to everyone that comes into the world. But does everybody receive it? For many, it's that unopened gift underneath the tree that's ignored. It's there. It's free. It's something we can use. And yet we ignore it. The true light, which giveth light to every man coming into the world. You know, the Jewish culture, one of the main religious symbols is the menorah. Seven branches, seven lights. During Hanukkah, there's a Hanukkiah that has nine. And the one in the center is called the Shamash. It's the slave or the servant. It's the one that they use to light all the other lights. They're all lit off that one in the center. That one in the center on their menorah represents Jesus Christ. They have so much of the gospel in front of them, and yet they're still in darkness. They don't have the light. Our opening scripture was John 3:19-21. And this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What is darkness? Where does it come from? Alexander McLaren cited three forms or three sources of darkness. The darkness of ignorance, the darkness of sorrow, and the darkness of sin. As you know, sometimes I'll read from Jonathan Cahn's Book of Mysteries. I get an awful lot out of that book. I read it every morning. And a few days ago, the reading had to do with light. And if you're not familiar with it, it's a teacher talking to his student. And there's 365 readings in there. There's one for every day of the year. And this is the one from, I don't know, it was day 311, whenever that was. It was a few days ago. It's called The Night Candle. The teacher led me outside his living quarters to a terrace where we sat down by a table. At the table was a lit candle. The sky began to darken. When we first sat down, he said, the sun was still shining, even on the candle. The light of the candle blended in with the light of the day. The two lights were in harmony, but then what happened? It grew dark, I said. So now the light of the candle is no longer in harmony with its surroundings. It no longer blended in. As the sky darkened, the candle stood out more and more dramatically. It was not the candle that changed, but everything around it. So now it was shining in marked contrast to its surroundings and against the darkness. And what does this reveal, I asked. The candle in the day, he said, represents the believer who shines in the midst of a Christian civilization. Its light blends in with the surrounding culture. The culture is in harmony with the light, at least on the outside, and appears to support it. But the candle in the night represents the believer who shines in the midst of a post-Christian civilization, an apostate civilization, an anti-Christian, anti-biblical, anti-God civilization. Now the cultural supports and the external props are removed. The light of the gospel is no longer in harmony with the surrounding culture. The surrounding culture now stands increasingly in opposition to the light. The light cannot blend in. It must now increasingly stand out in contrast to its surroundings and increasingly shine against the flow. So if you had a choice, which candle would you rather be? The candle of the day or the candle of the night? The candle of the day, I said. But it is the candle of the night that changes the world. The candle that shines in the daytime can hardly be seen, but the candle that shines in the darkness can be seen miles away. It is at the very time when it's hardest to shine the light that it is most crucial that you do. It is then that the light is most needed. And that is when the light becomes its most powerful. So never fear the darkness. You're a light. Shine into it, especially into the night, and you'll light up the world. Live today as a candle in the night. Don't fear the darkness or be intimidated by it, but shine all the more brightly against the night. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like today's America? The Christian country that was formed on Christian principles, that was dedicated to Jesus Christ? We knew it was going to get darker. And we see it happening. Matthew 5:14-16, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 13:43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. John 1:5, I read this once before, and we had it on our wall this morning. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Philippians 2:15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You shine as lights in the darkness of the world. Is that an important job? You better believe it. How else is the world going to see Jesus if they don't see it in us? 1 Peter 4:14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. How is he glorified? Because your light shines. Isaiah 60:1-3. Once again, I read this one before also. I'll read it again. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So, what is our part in all this? How does this apply to us? What is our responsibility? What is our duty? There will be darkness But our light will draw people to Jesus. And once again from Alexander McLaren, if we have the light, we shall be the light. And if we have light, we will shine. You know, the more I use this, eventually the battery's going to wear down, aren't they? But yet the light we get from God, it doesn't work that way. The more we use it, the more it shines. That's God's economy. It's contrary to what we think. Give to get. Die to live. Because he became like us, we can become like him. The nearer we are to him, the more like him we become. And the brighter our light will shine. I'm going to close with a quote from John Keith Falconer. I have but one candle of life to burn. And I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than in a land flooded with light. Lord Jesus, we just praise you and we thank you. We thank you for the light that you've given to us. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us to use it. Help us, Lord, to shine bright. Help us to draw nearer to you so that light will intensify. There will be a light bright enough that it will be seen from miles away, Lord. Lord, seal your word in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd go with each person. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us and direct us. I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified in everything we do. And I pray that our light would shine bright for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming. That concludes our service.